Sarah, can you possibly give me a little bit more light out back there? And we're going to go ahead and get into God's Word. Perfect. And that side over there, too. If you have your Bibles this morning, I'm going to ask you to open up to the Gospel of John and go to chapter 11. I've already given you the title of this message, Stop Blocking Your Miracles. Stop blocking your miracle. I find myself in a place in life where the idea of a miracle is very important. Because maybe I'm not the only person here who has found this. As you grow older, the complexity of the things that you are dealing with become more difficult. When I was a child, as the Bible says, when I was a child, I thought as a child. But as you get older, the things that you're dealing with are not so simple. I woke up yesterday, and I came downstairs, and my wife was already awake, and she was sitting on the couch with her phone, and I sat down, and we were having coffee, and she said, "Well, I've been sitting here Christmas shopping for the boys," and she, you know, just Amazon Prime, it's the devil, got to tell you. But what she was saying to me was this: she said something to me that was so funny. She says, "You know, the problem is when they're small like this, they're so easy to buy for. I mean, $5 gift, kid doesn't know the difference. $5 gift for a 4-year-old, he thinks it's great. Then I got my son, who's 17, and his asks these years are stuff like Apple Watches, stuff like that. And I'm like, do you understand how much that costs? PlayStations and things of this nature. Because as we grow older, the things that we need, the things that we want, they become more, they get bigger. But at the same time, as you grow older, the situations that you deal with are not as simple. They become more complex. And the things that we are going to the Lord for these days, at least in my life, are not like simple stuff like, oh, Lord, can you just keep gas in the car? No, it's bigger things than that. It's like, oh, Lord, can you figure out a way to make this disaster that we are facing become something that you do get the glory out of? And so the idea of us praying and asking God for miracles in our life is really an important component to our Christian faith. Can anybody say amen? But the things that I am praying for, I really need to trust that God has a way of coming through on. See, in this passage of Scripture that we can read through very quickly, it is one of the moments in the Bible that we see God, or we see Jesus, operate in a part of himself that is so important that we also know that he operates with us. And what that is he operates in the supernatural. Now, let's give you a little idea of what the supernatural is. In nature, there are natural laws of nature, okay? There are laws that nature follows and abides by. Here's one. The law of gravity. What is the law of gravity? We know that if we take an object and we throw it up in the air, it's not going to stay up there, is it? Because the law of gravity says this: what goes up must come down. Because there is a natural law that God put in place that requires that things stick to the ground. How many of you are grateful that we don't just all float around all the time? I mean, it might be fun for a few minutes, but when I'm eating my pizza, I don't want my pizza to float away. I want it to stay on the plate so I can go and pick it up and get the next bite. And there's other laws, the laws of thermodynamics. And those of you that have better scientific minds can throw a bunch of those out at me. What is the one that says that something cannot create or destroy. Energy is neither created nor destroyed. It's been a long time since I've been in school. You guys just bear with that. But these are laws of nature. And they are, because they are laws of nature, we can consistently predict an outcome because we know that the law works in a certain way. And like I said about gravity, if I throw something up in the air, I know it's going to land every single time on the ground because the law is in place. Now, here's the thing about the supernatural. The supernatural, in this context, a miracle of supernatural origin is when God overrides or overrules a natural law that he set in place to accomplish what he needs to do in your life. So let's try this one. I need a miracle in my finances. And I pray to the Lord and say, Lord, here is my need. Now, the law says this. I make this much money, and I have these many bills, and I pray unto the Lord and say, God, make a way, and he supernaturally takes the natural, which is I make this, and he provides for this. Come on. You guys understand what I'm... This is why we need to have an understanding of what the supernatural is in our life. And we need to understand that when we pray, that we pray to a God that works in supernatural ways. When Sharon called me in the other morning, and she was frantic on the phone, and I said, we're going to pray, and she went to the hospital, and I immediately went to the Lord, and I knew there were other people here in the church that were praying. She used the term, I thought my mother was a goner. And that's not a term that you want to lightly use. But when she gets up there, her mother isn't where she expects her to be because the supernatural has already begun to take place. A blood clot in your brain, just breaking free and releasing itself so you don't have to have major surgery. Come on, people. That's a miracle. That's a miracle. Come on, tell somebody next to you, say, I serve a miracle working God. I feel God here with us this morning. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you gained access to the supernatural. This was not a decision that you just made lightly. This was not something that you just said, I want God to be in my life because I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to go to hell. And I'm grateful that he saved me and I don't have to be looking forward to a lifetime burning in the lake of fire. But you know what? I also knew this about God, that my acceptance of him meant that I was going to have the access to his ability to do things in me, through me, and around me that I could never do for myself. Okay, let's stop and go eat. You just got everything you needed to hear today. But the problem is this. The problem is that I believe that the supernatural is not operating in many of our lives, not because of God's ability or desire to do it, but because we're blocking it. Because there are things that we are doing that God is looking and saying, you know what? I can't move past you. And I won't move past you. In this passage of Scripture, and let's just go ahead and read it real quick so we can get the text out here and we can break this down a little bit and go ahead and have our time of fellowship together. Go home and watch our football teams lose. It's been a long weekend for Syracuse fans. Then Jesus, verse 38, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. But Martha, the sister of him who was dead, and we know Martha, and we know Martha has a sister by the name of Mary. Mary has spoken earlier in this passage, if you guys want to go back and do a little Bible study. It's a Gospel of John is a great place to read. The sister of whom was dead said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead for 4 days. And Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was laying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who were standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you had sent me. Now, when he said these things, he cried out in a loud voice, ready? Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen the things Jesus did, they believed in him. But some of them went away to the Pharisees and told them the things that Jesus did. Again, the title of this message is Stop Blocking Your Miracle. Father, I pray that your word would reveal to us, it would open to us, and it would give us insight, Lord, into the power of this faith that we believe in. And it would give us, Lord, access to the things, Lord, that we've been praying and asking God to do in our life. And that you would help us, Lord, to get out of your way and the things that you desire to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's important for us to understand something about the nature of our Heavenly Father. And this is this. He feels and he cares. I oftentimes had read the passage that in just a verse before this, the shortest verse in the Bible says this, that Jesus wept. Jesus wept. And I had been taught by so many people over the years that the reason that Jesus wept was because of the unbelief of the people. I want to suggest something to you, that is not why Jesus wept. It wasn't because of their unbelief and that he felt bad, that they didn't believe in him. You know why he wept? He wept because two people that he really cared about had lost somebody that they loved. And he felt their grief, and he felt their pain, and he felt their suffering. And when he came into that place, and they looked at him, and with the face that only somebody who has lost somebody they love, and they looked at him and they said this, where were you? Why did you delay in coming? Because if you had come, if you had showed up, I know this would have all been better. And he was feeling their sorrow, and he was feeling their pain. And his response to them is the same as any person who still got a beating heart inside of them. You respond to somebody's pain by acknowledging it. And Jesus in this moment, he's feeling what they're feeling. But he also knew this, and this is something that I love about the God that we serve. He never let his emotions govern his theology. He never lets his feelings get in the way of what he is trying to accomplish. Because we already know back up earlier in chapter 11 that the news has come to him that, hey, your good friend Lazarus is sick and you need to get down here because we know you're the only one. There's no doctor that's going to be able to fix this one. There's no medicine that's available that's going to get him better. The only person that we know that can change this situation is you. Because you've got the power of God operate in your life. And see, this is why it's important for us to understand sometimes God's timing and the way he works. Because I don't know about you, but there's been many times that I've prayed for stuff, and I prayed that it would work out a certain way. And you know what happened? It didn't. It didn't happen the way that I wanted it to happen. And in this situation, they're asking Jesus to hurry up and get back here. Because if you get back here, you can touch Lazarus and you can heal him.
And he sits there and he says this, don't worry about it, because his sickness is not unto death. And then what happens to Lazarus? He dies. Oh, boy, I feel this right now. I feel this for somebody to hear this. There are many times that God speaks about situations in our life, and he says, this sickness is not unto death. And then we experience death. And we never get to the miracle of rebirth because we're stuck on the reality he didn't show up when I wanted him. He didn't get there in time. So what is dead is dead. And I want to suggest to you this morning that the power of the God that you serve, it's not over until he says it's over. And I speak right now in the power of the Holy Spirit to some situations that I personally am dealing with, and I know that some of you are dealing with, and I claim the word of the Lord. It's not over until he says it's over. And I don't care what I see with my eyes. I don't care what I feel with my heart. It is up to God to decide the outcome. And this is what, this is what I believe the Lord is trying to say to some of us. It's not over until I say it's over. And stop speaking death to things that I have not spoken death to. Stop speaking words, because the Bible says this, there's power of life and death in our tongue. And you know what? Some of us have been saying, I can't do it, it's too hard, it's done, it's over. And what we need to start speaking is this. God didn't say that. The rest of you and me, we're going to have church together. God didn't say that. That's why the Bible says this. When I don't have the power to rebuke the devil, you know what? I need to step out and say, the Lord rebuke you. Not in my notes, but I feel this in my heart. Jesus feels for us. But Jesus comes to them, and see, both Mary and Martha have met him. Mary's more passive, but yet she says the same things to Jesus. Martha's more of an aggressive type, so she doesn't just say it to him. She follows him to make sure that he knows for sure what she thinks about him not showing up. And they both say this. They say, if you had gotten here in time, we would not be dealing with the situation that we're dealing with today. If you had gotten here when we called you, if you had showed up, Brazzy, when I prayed, if you had showed up when I prayed, we'd be having a celebration service today, and we'd be rejoicing about the goodness of the Lord. Instead, what we're doing is we're looking at you going, you failed me. You weren't here. Jesus walks up, and he comes into, he says, let's go up to the tomb. Let's go to where Lazarus is laying. And he says something that I believe is the first thing that we need to examine. If we're going to get out of God's way and let the miracle that he's trying to unfold in our life. He goes up there, and he says this. He says, remove the stone. Remove the stone. Boy, this hit me powerfully this week. Remove the stone. Remove the stone, because the miracle is laying behind it. And I want to say this to you. I believe that every time that God is coming into our life to do a supernatural, powerful thing, he's going to look at you and say, you need to remove the stone. I can't tell you what the stone is. I can't tell you. I can't say this, and this. This is, no, every single one of us, it's something different. But I'm going to tell you this. I know this much about the nature of the God that I serve. He always is looking for us to make a faith step before he shows up in a supernatural way. You know, there's too many people that I've heard them say stuff like this. Oh, Lord, I'm just praying for your blessings, Lord. I'm praying for a job. I'm praying for this. I'm praying whatever. And you know what? Then they go do absolutely nothing to make a way for God to show up supernaturally. You know what? You need a job and you don't go out and apply for one. Enjoy unemployment. You need God to move this snowstorm comes in. And you know what? I'm thankful. My wife finally made me break down and hire a plow service to help because she's afraid of me dying out there. So thank you, babe. But at the same time, they only go so far to where your cars are, and they plow out the hard part, and you're still blocked in. Now, I could have stayed up there and said, but Lord, just free those cars. You know what? Those cars would not have been freed without me grabbing a snow shovel and saying, I'm thankful for what the plowman did, but there's a little bit more work to do. And we're going to have to, and Jess and Joey and myself, we were all out there, and Joey with his little shovel, and he's shoveling and moving that snow around, and it was a beautiful morning, but we had to put a foot forward. There are way too many Christians that have bought into this concept of faith that says this, that faith without works is okay. Faith without any action on your part, no problem. I pray for financial blessing and I don't ever give. That's okay. God's going to take care of me. Oh, sorry. I pray that God uses me, and then the pastor gets up. And, oh, I'm so bad. I'm going to step in. Then pastor gets up and says, we need help in the nursery, and nobody wants to help in the nursery. Got real quiet. I'll just leave that one there for you guys, and I'll keep moving. But I need you to understand. God is always looking for you to move the stone. We want God to move the stone, but this is the deal. He gives us his revealed will before we ever get to his unrevealed will. And his revealed will is always this. Move the stone. Get off of your seat and do what I've told you to do. And if you will do this, I will show up in a way like you can't even believe. I believe this, that unfortunately too many of us, we have educated our way out of the supernatural. We've educated our way out of the supernatural. Because Martha came up and Martha spoke some facts that were completely true. She said, well, you didn't show up, and now you want us to move the stone. But, you know, I just want to point out to you that the dude's been dead for 4 days. So, unfortunately, not only has he been dead beyond the period of when the body is dead, he's now moved into the period where the body is decompressing. So, you know, or decomposing. So you know what? Not only did you not show up when you were supposed to, but you showed up so late that there's nothing left to save. And see, these are the facts that we work with and that we talk to God in our way of prayer and our way of faith. And you know what? We start to talk about him, to him, and we give him all of the reasons why he can't move. And I want to say to you this, everything that you're saying is probably correct. I'm too old. I'm too this. It's too that. And you know what? What we're saying to God is, here are all the reasons. supernatural cannot operate in my life. Martha was telling Jesus why he could not do what he could do. But this, when he told them to move the stone, even though what they were feeling in their heart was, I don't know what he's up to, they could have said this to Jesus: you move the stone. This is too late. Let's just go cry and share some good memories about good old brother Lazarus. Let's talk about what he was like and all these things, and then let's talk about how God didn't help us when we needed him. But they didn't do that. And Martha didn't do that. I was having this conversation with my wife yesterday, and I wrote this note to myself, and I threw it in there. And we were talking about a situation in that we're dealing with. And I just kind of turned to her, and God sometimes speaks through each one of us, and then we look at each other and go, wow, that was pretty brilliant, wasn't it? And when it does, you look at it and you go, that wasn't me. But I wrote this, I sent this to her yesterday as we were driving down the road. I said, at what point do we stop thinking we are right and start trying to get right? At what point do we stop thinking that we're right and start trying to get right? And see, I think a lot of times in our prayer life and the way that we approach the Lord, we come to him with all of our logic that we are right and what has happened, and then he is not right. And what we need to do is, instead of trying to be right, we need to get right. And you know how you get right? You get right by walking in faith. You get right by praying and believing that somehow what I'm asking God for, this big ask that I'm putting out in front of him right now, that I have absolutely no right to ask him. I have absolutely nothing to stand on. I have absolutely nothing but this. God loves me so much that he said that if I ask anything in his name, believing, then he can do it. That's all I got. And you know what? That's all that he asks for. That is one of the most powerful things that we can ever do, is come before the Lord going, you know what? You're the only one. You're it. You either do or don't. But if you don't, but I trust that you can do. Now, verse 40. I keep moving here. Verse 40 is interesting because Martha has said all of this stuff to him. And all of a sudden, he looks to her and he says this: did I not say to you? Did I not say to you? And my brothers and sisters, I want to say to you this morning, I feel like for some of us in our life today, the Lord is looking at us and saying, did I not say to you? Did I not say I was going to take care of you? Did I not say I would be there for you in your loneliness? Did I not say to you I would be there for you in your health concerns? Did I not say to you that I would help you raise your family? Did I not say to you, fill in the blank? There is no promise in the Bible of this, that your life would be easy, that your life would be simple, that your life would be pain-free, that your life would be glorious and wonderful. You know, we believe that we love the scripture, faith to faith and glory to glory. But you know what? Glory to glory means that I have to do some traveling to get from one glory to the other. And can I get a witness in this church this morning that the glory to glory usually goes like this? Huh? I am not hopscotching from one great moment in my life to the next. As a matter of fact, for most of us, the moments that we get to has been such a struggle to get to that a lot of times we don't appreciate what God has done for us. We don't relax on the mountaintop long enough just say, whew, look what the Lord has done. Did I not say to you? This is what Jesus says there. I want to say this to you guys about the glory of God. The glory of God in our life is Him advertising Himself to whatever situation that you're facing. The glory of God, why does He need to show up? Because it's His way of walking in and saying, okay, I'm here now. When Jesus walked up to the tomb, you know what? He was advertising the glory of God to the death that lay behind the stone. He was advertising to everyone around, guess what? Things are about to change. Things are about to change. And when I pray for the glory of God to show up in my life, I'm not praying for Him just to bail me out of another situation. What I'm praying for Him is to do is this. I need Him to advertise to what I'm facing that you're no longer dealing with Philip. You're dealing with the Creator of the universe. You're dealing with the one who, hey, you've been messing with Him. Guess what? I made Him. I reached into the dirt and I formed Him. And so when He says to us, did I not say to you? These are the things that are so important for us as Christians, as believers, that we understand and we mark in our heart and wherever we are, that we are able to say, you know what? I know who I am, and I know that God is with me and for me because God has said these things over my life. You cannot get to His secret will, and I just said this to you a moment, if you ignore His revealed will. There's a place in Matthew 13 where Jesus went into a town and He said He didn't do many miracles. Why? Because of their unbelief. Because of their unbelief. It's so important for us as Christians to always believe that anything is possible. Anything is possible as long as He is for me. When the Bible says that no weapon formed against me shall prosper, I have to believe that. I can't randomly choose to say, yeah, okay, well, today it's going to work, or tomorrow it's not. We have one course of action as followers of Christ. All in or not at all. This is why the Bible would say stuff like this, that for us, that it would be better for us to be cold than for us to be lukewarm. Because cold, He'll come and save you. Lukewarm, He'll spit you out of His mouth. Now, let's keep moving. Verse 41, and I found this to be really interesting when I was reading back through this. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. See, what happens in this moment is that Jesus shows up, and He doesn't just go up there with Martha. There is a they. There is a crowd that comes around. And what caught my attention about this was that Jesus is talking to Martha, and He says, you need to remove the stone. But Martha does not have the physical strength to do it on her own. And so what does Jesus do? He brings a they to the miracle. And I want to say to you guys this, is that there are things in our life, and there are stones in our life that can be so big that it's not something that we can single-handedly handle. And what I love about the God that I serve is that if I will allow Him, He will always put me in community so that when there are things that are too big for me, He brings people around me that can help me. Why do you belong to a church? Do you belong to a church for just because I'm doing my religious obligation? Or do you belong to a church because there's moments in your life when things are big and heavy
need to have that community of believers around you that not only can they pray for you, they can be there to comfort you, they can be there to love on you, they can be there to show up on a Saturday afternoon and bring the truck and help you move from one house to the next. Come on. This is what the church is supposed to be. Because there are stones that are just too big sometimes. And man, when I saw that, it was like all of a sudden, they all jumped in. They didn't just leave it up to Martha. This miracle that was about ready to take place, the glory of God showing up was not just going to impact one family. It was going to impact a whole bunch of people at once. And God knew that, listen, I need a they. I need a crowd. Because you know what? Yes, I love to work in small secret places. But you know what? I like it even better when I do something on such a scale that nobody can figure it out. God, ooh, God's a big fan of crowds. He's a big fan of doing something supernatural in your life that the crowd gets a chance to look at and go, how'd that happen? And you sit back there and say, that's my God. I've been praying about this one for a long time. God did that one. And it's important for us to this morning, I just want to suggest this to you. That sometimes we need those around us to help us move the stone. And then there's other times that we need to be there to help others move their stone. Amen. Give and it shall be given. Press down, shaking together, running over to make room for more. Are you a giver or are you a taker? Are you a giver or are you somebody who's just always waiting for somebody else to be there when you need it? Let's keep moving. Now, I want to show, they remove the stone. They're standing out in front. And Jesus prays something here. And he prays something, and it's very important for us to get it in the tense in which he prays it. Hebrews 7:25 says this, is that Jesus is our intercessor. Romans 8:27 says this, the Holy Spirit is our intercessory according to God's will. So, look up here, everybody, you need to know this. At any given moment, Jesus is praying for you. Amen. The next time that you're sitting there in the middle of the night and dark and you're feeling all alone and stressed out, maybe you just need to say this, I'm not alone. Jesus. Got nobody on your side. Oh, yes, I do. Oh, yes, I do. The Holy Spirit is in prayer for me right at this moment. Now, Jesus says something to them, and this is important for us to get because we're talking about releasing the supernatural. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes and he says this, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I thank you that you've heard me. He doesn't say, I thank you that you're hearing me now. I thank you that now we're having this conversation. No, he says something to him. He says, I thank you that you have heard me. He is speaking in a past tense about a situation. He's speaking in a past tense about a situation that they are dealing with in the present.
Wow.
You got that right?
Wow.
Yeah. He is speaking in the past tense about a situation that they are dealing with in the present. What does that suggest to us? It suggests to us this, that God is always so that he has already prepared a way where there is no way. He has already made the supernatural possible before we've ever even gotten to what we're dealing with. He has already, that's why back earlier in the chapter he said, yeah, I know he's sick, but don't worry. The sickness is not unto death. He dies. Lazarus dies. Everybody thinks it's over. And Jesus is just sitting back there going, oh, this is going to be good. I'm about ready to show the glory of God in a way that people are going to be talking about in 2018 on a Sunday morning in Syracuse, New York. His prayers for us, the way God operates in our life is this: I've already done it. So when I come before him and I pray a prayer of unbelief, I'm telling him, you're not good enough. But when I can come to him in faith, and you know what, I wish I could say to you, your prayer of faith is something that is an instantaneous, it's going to turn around overnight. Whatever you're praying for is man, it's, don't worry about it. God's got it. You're going to wake up tomorrow, and whatever you're fighting with today is going to be gone. Come on. That's not the reality of life. But what I know is this, that no matter what I'm struggling with, no matter what I'm dealing with, God will give me the strength in the day. We talked about this before. The children of Israel, they didn't get manna for tomorrow. They got manna for today. I'm on a paycheck-to-paycheck existence in my faith. All I've got is this moment that I'm living in. And in this moment, I know that God is going to provide exactly what I need so that I can be guaranteed that tomorrow he'll show up again. So he says this, in that past tense, I am glad that we've already talked about this. We've already had this conversation about what was going to go down here. I knew that I was going to show up 4 days too late. I knew I was going to walk into some accusations. I knew I was going to walk into some broken hearts. I knew that there were going to be people that were going to be doubting. I knew that this whole situation was going to unfold the way it did. But we've already had a conversation about how the outcome is. Listen to me. He's already had a conversation about what your outcome is going to be. And I can't promise you that the outcome is going to be this or that, but I can promise you this, that whatever happens in your life, all things work together for the good of those who love him. Whatever is in God's will, God will do because it has already been agreed upon in the Spirit. Whatever I'm praying for, there's already been an agreement made in the Spirit. My job is not to change that agreement, but it's to come into alignment with it. That's when I start to unlock the supernatural in my life. But I can never get to the supernatural if I'm not a man of faith. And let's wrap this up right here. Jesus comes up and is very, we have to understand, we gotta recognize this. He mentions only one name. He says, Lazarus, come forth. Because if he had just said, come forth, that would have been scary. That'd have been like watching one of those zombie movies or something. He says, Lazarus. And when God speaks to whatever your situation is, he's very specific. He speaks to the one thing that he needs to change. But then, it's interesting to note, Lazarus doesn't just get up and come walking. No, the Bible says he comes out. All bound up in the burial cloths that he'd been put into. And then what does he say? He says this. He says, y'all get in there and free that man. Loosen him up. You know what hit me about this week when I was reading this? This is what hit me. When God does something miraculous in your life, he likes to get you involved in it and other people involved in it. They saw him coming out. They knew he was dead. And he said to the crowd, the very people that helped roll the stone away, he said, y'all, just go in there and see. I want you to really see what I just did. I want to show off my power. I want to show off my power. And then the Bible says this, and this is where we'll end right here. He said that as a result of his glory showing up, many people turned to God and became followers. He doesn't do the supernatural in your life just because he just wants to take care of us. He does the supernatural in his life, in your life, because he wants his name to be known. We're conduits, people. That's what we are. And he's looking for people to position themselves to be a conduit for his glory. When I pray and I ask God to do supernatural things in my life, it's not because I just really need him to do it, although I do. What I also need to happen is that as a result of him doing what only he can do, the people around me look and say, okay, that's what this Jesus is about. Can I tell you something? It's a lot easier to witness to somebody and bring them to the Lord when they've witnessed God showing up in your life than it is for me to tell somebody, oh, you need to come and serve the Lord. And they look at you and say, why do I need to serve the Lord? The serving the Lord is what you're living. That doesn't sound any fun. I'd rather stay out and do all the crazy stuff I've been doing and trying to live this life that I'm living all on my own. But when they're able to look at us and they're able to say, man, I know that guy. I remember what their marriage was like. They were ready to split up and I encouraged them to split up. But now look at them. They're in love with each other. They've stuck together all these years. How did that happen? Oh, that's what Jesus is about. They were praying for their kids. Man, their kids were like terrorists. And somehow, now they're good, solid people. How'd that happen? Oh, that's what this Christianity is about. Supernatural. I'm going to stop right here so we can go and have our time of fellowship. Don't worry about Priscilla. I titled this message, Stop Blocking Your Miracle. And it comes down in a nutshell for me is this. We got to stop telling God what he can do and what he can't do. Throw our logic out the window. We got to throw our reasoning as to why something should be the way it is versus what he wants it to be. And when I pray and I come before the Lord, I got to change my thought process here. I got to stop saying something's dead that he has not spoken that over. That's it. How many of us need the supernatural in our life? Amen. Father, we're going to close this service. Go have some time together. But Lord, I know in my heart and I feel in my spirit that I am not alone in this church today in praying for areas and things in my life, Lord, that I need a supernatural miracle to transpire. And so, God, I'm going to ask, and I will be the first person in the front of the line this morning, that you forgive me for my unbelief. You forgive me for the times, Lord, that I've let my logic cloud the way that I've prayed. That I've at times said something was done that you never had spoken that word over. And that, Lord, you can do whatever you desire to do. And I just want to come into alignment with that. And Lord, I pray that that would be our prayers. We just come in alignment with the miracles that you desire to bring to our life, Lord. I want to be your follower, Lord. I don't want to be the person that's pulling against the rope, Lord. I want to be the person that's just willingly walking beside you. Because God, I got some stuff, Lord. I got some stuff on me. I got some things, Lord, that are big. Some big, hairy troubles that I'm facing. And if you don't show up, I don't know. But I put my trust in you today. Because God, I feel you speaking. You've been telling me this for months. I will keep you. And I didn't even know what you were talking about. And little pieces of that just keep getting revealed to me. I will keep you. And I believe that's the word for this church today. I will keep you. Release the supernatural, God. So that the world around us, God, can see it and be glorified. And you can be glorified in it. In your name we pray. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Amen. Tell somebody next to you, get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Thank you, Bishop. Father, I pray that you bless our time together. Bless the food we're about to eat. May our fellowship be a just beautiful in your sight. May we enjoy being with our friends and our family. In your name we pray. Amen. Come on, let's go eat some food.